Good morning. My name is Sandy Burton, and our scripture reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. Tychicus will give you a full report about how I am getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. I am also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychicus will tell you everything that is happening here. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder what messages you have heard. What message did you hear this week that was good for your ears? What message did you hear that sent you on a downer? What message are you tired of hearing? I don't know. We're getting older. Oh, I'm getting older. Oh, yeah, I'm getting older. I'll tell you more about that next and as we get down the road here. But my name's Keith Harcombe, and we're at the end of our series on the domino effect. For the last 6 weeks, we have been teaching, preaching, going through the book of Colossians, and the concept of how a domino, a small 2-inch domino, can actually knock over another domino 1.5 times greater than the one it was before. So as we understand these concepts that Paul teaches us in Colossians, we start to have an enormous domino effect. Week one, we talked about how our proximity to Christ, the actually ascended Christ, and our proximity to him will start the first domino. Week two, we talked about how that domino would trigger off the fact that Christ is in us. Week three talked about how Christ is, actually the second week was Christ is in you. And then week three was Christ is in us. Week four, we talked about how Christ is our life and how as we understand this, we get so excited when we see the life of Christ in other people and it starts to move around us. And then week five, last week, we talked about Christ is our method and what clothes we put on, how we clothe ourselves daily with Christ will communicate to other people what it is that we are passionate about, what it is of these dominoes that we understand. And this week, we're talking about the message of Christ. What message do you want to hear today? What is it that you would love to hear that would help you go from here to go out into the world and live like God really wanted you to? I was dying to hear a new message. I didn't know that I was dying to hear a new message. I just looking back when I was 20 years old, I was dying to hear something that was going to give me life, something that was going to give me hope for the future. The messages around me were just like despairing. I was in the military at the time, and the message when I was in and around the people I was with was work hard. And the next message was play hard. And then the next message after that was get drunk while you're doing it. And this cycle of life was just going nowhere. In fact, when you'd really achieve something, if you drank as much as you forget the couple of nights before as what you actually did. when you've achieved that goal, then you were doing good. Everyone likes you. You've forgotten everything. And these were the kind of messages that were given to me and was what I received from other people around me. Thank God my mother taught me about the Bible. She gave me a Bible to take with me when I was in the Navy, and I was reading it one night because I thought I should read it. I thought it was a good idea. And I picked it up, and there was a flyer inside the Bible. There was a flyer that said, well, we meet for Bible study on a Wednesday. Come and join us on a Wednesday. So I went down there. I walked down to the Royal Sailor's Rest. It's a place that's kind of like a pub without all the alcohol. And we go down there, and there was people having a Bible study. And when I met these people, Woody and Mike, they actually listened to me. Now, I know you find it hard to understand, and I know you find it difficult, but back then I was really obnoxious. And I wasn't real lovable. I wasn't real likable. But these people took a moment to look me in the eye and listen to me. And they acted like actually they had a genuine interest in what I did. And the other people around there, Kathy Millward, Simon Simmons, and Debbie Whitaker Smith, these people started to embrace me with the love of Christ that was in their lives. Not only did they teach me about the Bible, not only did they buy me cups of coffee, not only did they embrace me regardless of the person that I was, they invited me to their home. They had a home close to the base. They invited me and invited me in, and we had more food together, and they realized that I didn't have a washing machine where I was living. They allowed me to do my laundry in their home. They took up this thing in the scripture that said that meet together and whatever each of you doesn't have, we'll provide for you. And through these people, showing me about them, aware of the Christ was in us, aware that Christ was their life, through these people understanding that their method, what they did, meant something. Because of these people, they weren't famous people, they weren't famous preachers, they weren't famous singers, famous worship leaders, they weren't on TikTok, they didn't have 120 million followers on YouTube. They were just people. And because of their witness, and because of the clothes that they wore, because of the method that they used, I decided to follow Jesus because of those people. And I have never looked back since that day. That was 30 years ago, this year. And I've never looked back since that day because of 5 or 6 or 7 normal, unfamous people. And the message I heard from them transformed my life and caused an action on my part. On my part, I decided to follow Jesus. Paul wanted to communicate this so much to the people around the Mediterranean. Back then, the Apostle Paul was responsible for communicating this message around the Mediterranean basin, around Greece and Asia Minor and all around these places. And his key purpose of writing the book that we've been looking at, Colossians, is to communicate this message. I'm in the last installment today. At the end of Colossians that Sandy read to you, right at the end, and we're in chapter 4, verse 2. Open your Bible to that place. You might see something different. It's an easy book to read. Colossians chapter 4 is where we're going to go. We're going to put it on the screen. If you're on your phone, open it, Google it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 9 is where we're going to concentrate on today. Paul wanted to communicate this message, and he says, devote yourselves. Now, that first word there, devote. Devote yourselves to prayer, he says. Devote, like do things. Devote yourself to prayer as much devotion as you have to charging your cell phone. Anybody do that, making sure it's always charged, especially if you're going on a trip, and you need the GPS and you want to make sure it's charged? Devote yourselves as much as charging your phone. Devote yourselves as much as you do finding that exact restaurant for the food that you are looking for. You foodies out there wanting the exact food that you want to look. Devote yourselves just as much as that. Devote yourselves to prayer. How does he want us to devote ourselves to prayer? He says with two things: an alert mind, a thankful heart. Yeah, it's great to pray continually. It's great to pray when you come to church and Pastor Kathy prays, and when others are praying for you, it's great. But pray with an alert mind. Pray aware of what's going on around you in Palm Harbor, in Florida, and in Texas. Pray so much so that after a while you're praying so hard that it turns into action. That it turns into doing something for people of Texas and Uvalde and all of these things that happen around us. Pray with that in mind. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. What's going on in your life right now that you can pray for? What is it that is a constant prayer of your life? What is it that you're asking God for? What would you love to see God do in your life? Paul says, do that with a thankful heart. After the events of this week, we're thankful we're able to sit here, amen? We're thankful that when you look around you, you can see your family and friends and children. And you start to realize something. I'm thankful I'm here. I'm thankful I was able to step out of bed this morning. I'm thankful that I'm able to switch on the light. I'm thankful that when I turn on the faucet, the water comes out. I'm just thankful. Thankful that you are able to be here this morning. Thankful that in this week I've seen 3 babies being born. Praise the Lord. Thankful that God has allowed you to live this life today. So that's just a precursor, what Paul wants you to do. And he's writing this to Colossae. It says, pray for us too. Pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response to everyone. So Paul says, pray for us too. And when he says us there, when he says pray for us too, he's talking about his team, his team that's in ministry. And this team lined out just after this text, and it says, my team's Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, and Demas. They were the ministry team. They were the team that were communicating this message. He says, pray for us that we'll have opportunities. In other English versions, it says, pray for us that doors will open for us to share this message. Pray for my team that we'll have places to be in ministry. Now, if I was Paul, I wouldn't have been asking that. If this is the letter I was sending to the Colossians, this is the note that I was sending out to this place, I would say something along the lines of, hey, pray that I will get out of jail because I'm here for the wrong reasons, right? Get me out of here. And he says, no. He says, I pray that I would be given opportunities, even when I'm in the jail, even when I'm inside here, even when I'm locked up for the wrong reasons, even when I'm here, pray that I would be given an opportunity to communicate the gospel. Pray that whatever I say inside this facility would be an opportunity to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why I'm in chains, he says. Pray that I'll proclaim this message as clearly as I should. As clearly as I should. And he says, live wisely. Live wisely among each other. So people are watching you. People around you, are unbelievers, are watching you. Speak wisely to those people around you. Don't inform them of the information that you know. Don't beat them over the head with what you've been taught all your life and what is important to you. Don't have your pet project and be like, well, this is really important. What does he say? Live wisely, that you might have a conversation with these people that don't believe. He says, speak in a way, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt, graciously, and have a conversation that's attractive. In other versions, seasoned with salt. I love watermelon. You like watermelon? Watermelon tastes so good. And after living in Florida for a while, someone said, put salt on it. Like, oh, wow, the juice comes out so much, right? It's amazing. When you speak to others who don't have the same hope as you, season your conversation with salt so that the juice comes out. So that the juice comes out in people. So that the goodness can come out with people. So there's an opportunity to say, that's why Jesus loves you. That's why Jesus likes you. That's why you're cherished. That was the message that I heard when I was in Portland, in England, 30 years ago. That was the message that I heard just because these people knew what it meant to have a conversation seasoned with salt. Over these last few weeks, we've been looking at the emails of J.D. Wall and the daily emails of the seabed text for the domino effect. And J.D. is known for his quotes, and he quotes somebody else for a change. And he says, when you're with people, J.D. Wall says, have a genuine interest in the other person you are talking to. Have a genuine interest. I think I realized this when I met my friends all those years ago. Kathy and Simon. I think they knew this. I think they knew what it meant to have their hearts focused on the mission. I think if I went back in time and went there, I would say to them, you guys have a vision. You guys lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. These people had an open-hearted generosity about them. They were a continuous focus on the future. And they were definitely, passionately participating. Paul goes on to say, in this last part of Colossians here, he goes on to say, Tychicus will give you a full report about how I am getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I send him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. This whole letter is about encouragement. And Paul wants to make sure he gets it there. But who the heck is Tychicus? Who is this guy? Never before have we heard of him, and all of a sudden Paul mentions him in a letter. Well, we do know that he was in Acts with Paul when Paul was running from a riot in Acts after he proclaimed the gospel, and there was a riot going on in Ephesus. And as they were running away, his ministry team were running with them. And then the Roman says, hey, we're going to kill you. This is the kind of guy that was thick and thin with him. He was in and amongst what was going on. And Tychicus was there alongside Paul. This is the kind of guy that you want on your side. Paul trusted Tychicus. He says, I am sending this guy to you because this guy gets it. This guy gets it. And you can imagine him passing the note through the jail, through the railings and passing it. Hey, take this, Tychicus. Take this with you and make sure it gets. And through this, like nobody, through this like person that he's got no gospels written after him. He's not mentioned in the Old Testament. Yeah, he's not famous. He's not like a famous preacher. He's not a famous preacher. He's not a famous musician. He hasn't got like, you know, 260 million followers. He's just a dude that's passionate about the gospel. He says, take this. And because of Tychicus, we have this message today. We have this letter that we're reading today. He says, listen to this guy. This guy gets it. And you can imagine him reading it out in the church in Colossae. He's like, I got this letter from you, from the man. And yeah, he's still in jail, but he's still passionate. Listen to this. This is the letter. You can imagine him standing up and saying that. I've sentenced you because he knows the very purpose. And then he says, I'm also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychicus will tell you everything that is happening here. So he sends two people, Tychicus and Onesimus. Now, Onesimus also doesn't get much of a mention in the scripture, apart from this one book in the entire Bible called Philemon. And Philemon is this plea from Paul to set Onesimus, who's a slave, set him free because he's stolen from Philemon. And Paul says, hey, set him free because he's been helping me. He's been passionate about the ministry. He's sorry for stealing from you. Would you set him free? Because he's going to do great things in ministry. He's no longer a slave. And we're going to set him free to all the things that he used to be a slave. We're going to set him free to do ministry. Amen. That's what we want people to do. We want to be set free from slavery, set free from the jail, set free so that they can be freed up to do ministry. He says, I'll send him to you too, this former slave. He's passionate, but he gets it. So he sends these two guys, Onesimus and Tychicus, down to Colossae. And then he says, pass this message around. In fact, send it down to Laodicea. That's kind of I want them to know the same message. And let them know that they too should follow along with this message. And so this was the people who were in ministry with him. These are the people who communicated this message. Now, ministry means waiting tables. That's what the word means. In Greek, waiting tables. So notice that doesn't say pastor. It doesn't say vicar. It doesn't say deacon. It doesn't say rabbi. It doesn't say prophet. None of these people were prophets in the Bible that we're just reading today. It says, anyone who is doing things for the Lord. You know, people say, what do you do in life? What do you do? And normally we jump immediately to what work we do, what profession we do, or what profession we did. What is it that you do? I'm not talking about your work. I'm not talking about your employment. I'm not talking about what you once did. I'm talking about what is it you do now? Maybe you drive people to the hospital. Maybe you work in an ALF and you're a volunteer. Maybe you constantly encourage people who are volunteering in other places in life. Maybe you spend a lot of time driving people to and from the hospital. Maybe you're a lawyer. Maybe you're a doctor. Maybe you're someone who's passionate. No matter what you do, you want people to know the message of Christ. That means whatever you do, wherever conversations you have, they are seasoned with salt. Your message is always that you could have a better life. Your better life comes from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And this message is always seasoned throughout your life. And Paul wanted so much for them to do that. And they become the messengers of the message. So this week, it's really simple. Be a Tychicus. Be an Onesimus. Be a anybody. Be a nobody. There's a bunch of people out there that have impacted you and communicated this message to you. They've communicated what it means to follow Christ. My friends, I believe, knew the five dominoes. They knew the five dominoes before this one. They knew that they had to have a proximity to Christ in order to communicate what they were going to do. They knew that Christ was in you. They knew that Christ was in us. They knew that Christ was their life. They knew that they get excited when they communicate through the method of the putting on of the clothes, putting on righteousness, putting on compassion. And these people, because of their lives, pointed me to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Who has that been for you? This Memorial Day, you'll thank people, thank veterans, thank people for their service, and that's all really important and something I am very passionate about. Consider sending a text message to somebody that was a vital part in you sitting here today. Consider sending a message to someone that says, hey, thank you for being a messenger of the message for me. Thank you for showing me whom it was that was important. Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, and Demas. A couple of names we might remember. A couple of names you might know. But most people want to be heard by who's in front of them. They want to be heard by those around them. And when you're hurting and lonely and tired, they're the people you need, amen? And this guy knew that. Paul knew that. He knew that these people were to communicate this message. And really, I just want you to insert your name here. At Easter, I mentioned that I'm adding a name. I'm adding a name because I only got two names and I want a middle name. And I'm going to add it and I'm going to call myself William, which is my father's middle name. I always wanted a middle name. I never had one. But the reason I'm doing it this year, it's a really important phase of my life. For three reasons, an important phase of my life. So I decided to follow Christ 30 years ago, and that was when I was 20. So in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be? Some of you are following, yeah. So that's like a major moment in my life. Good grief, that's old. I'm so old all of a sudden. And then the other reason is that I'm getting ordained in next week, 2 weeks' time, so I'm pretty happy about that. That also took 30 years. Just kidding, some of you got that. Yeah. And the main reason is that I have never been more convinced that people need to hear this message of life-changing moments with Christ. Amen? That's why we're here, folks. That's why you're sitting here. That's why you're listening to me. That's why you sing songs. That's why we bring our children here. That's why we walk in here, fellowship with one another, is because we believe that life can be changed through Jesus Christ. Amen? And I have never been more sure of that than I am today. And I want you to know that too. And I want you to share that message with other people too. So I know you're excited about the six dominoes coming out. Are you excited? Okay, so Lynn and Kathy are going to help me because I've only got two hands. This is number three, and this is number two. The first domino, which is coming, we got a couple here. What was the second domino? Just to confuse you all up here. What was the second domino? Christ in? You. Good job. Four is down here. Lynn, come down here, Lynn.
No, four. I got five
or
six.
Oh, yeah, this is confusing. Come down here. All right.
I got one.
Okay, we're going to do it the wrong way around today. All right, three, four, okay. These guys aren't very trained. Okay, so this one, you know, proximity to the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be that moment. And then Christ is in you. Christ is in. Christ is our life. Christ is our method. Was that mine? I was trying to. Okay. And finally, Christ is our message. Say it loud. Christ is our message. And when we start to get all these, no, you got to go this way. This way. Turn it this way. That's it now, because I just can't handle it going that way. It's the number six, right?
You so just
when
can't
we get
good
when
help
we get
today.
All these, when we get all these, something massive happens. Something massive happens. We realize that all of these major concepts are for a reason. That we would, yeah, good job, guys. Thank you for your help. That we would get the message, and that other people would get the message of Jesus Christ. If I drop dead walking out of here today and I don't make it to 50, I'm cool with that. I'm cool. I'm super happy that I've communicated the method. I've communicated the message. I've communicated whom Christ is to me. And I want you to know that joy too. As we come to the end of our series, as we come to the end of our dominoes, I want you to know the last thing. Domino number six is that Christ is our message. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life-changing message that you have implanted in us. Thankful, Lord, that you stir this up in us today. We're thankful for the message to Colossae, to faithful people who are just on fire for you, but like we're nobodies. We pray, Lord God, that we too would be those people, carriers, messengers of the message to those around us who've never heard the message. And we ask all this in your precious and powerful name. And all of God's people said, amen.